Iti Bhagavatam Dharmam Siksan Bhaktya Taduktaya Narayana Paramayam Anjastarati Dushtaram. Thus learning the science of devotional service and practically engaging in that devotional service to the Lord, the devotee comes to the stage of love of Godhead. By complete devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the devotee easily crosses over the illusory energy Maya, which is extremely difficult to cross. Nama sheshtam ramapi sachi putra matra sarupam rupam tasya grajam urupurim maturim gosdavatim radha kundam giribaram maho radikumarasyam rapto jasya pakitipipaya sri gurum tamanatosme. So, pure devotional service. That's what we're going for. And Srila Prabhupada says early on in the Bhagavad Gita that you have to have faith. And he says it very clearly. He says, you must suspend your disbelief. Just like when somebody says, the Supreme Lord Krishna and his name are identical. And when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you personally associate with Krishna. He's there with you. He's dancing on your tongue. Picture that. During your japa, think, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Shyam Sundar, is dancing on my tongue. That's a pretty amazing thought, just that in itself. But it's a good japa meditation. Prabhupada said, when you're reading Bhagavad Gita, you should have faith. Suspend your disbelief, because the mind has the job of harassing the soul. The mind torments the soul, and when a soul decides, I'm going to take shelter of Krishna, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Immediately the mind says, check your email, or check your phone, or feed the cat. Or, there's so many things that have nothing to do with you and Shyam dancing on your tongue. This is an intimate, private time that we should all try to pray to Krishna to get an attraction for, a taste for. My personal problem is that I have no taste at all for it, even though I've been trying to do it for 45 years. But I'm not going to give up. I take it very seriously, and when I pray, Vaisheshika Prabhu says there's three P's in japa: prayer, pronunciation, and posture. And these things help. When you're chanting japa, if you think, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. This is the prayer. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. If you remember that while you're doing it and have respect and faith, this is real. Suspend all the disbelief and take shelter of the mantra. We can make spiritual progress just by hearing it. Because by coming in touch with the divine, our senses become divine. The tongue becomes transcendental. Our whole consciousness becomes cleansed and purified by taking part in the mantra, by associating with the mantra. And Prabhupada also said that you must read these books daily. And I have a daughter that loves to read. And she's read 75 or 80 books, a lot of books. And I asked her the other day, how many Prabhupada's books have you read? Anybody want to venture to guess how many Prabhupada's books she's read? And forget the kids, let's talk about the parents. How many times do the parents crack these books? So it's important that we hear what's going on in the spiritual world, because we're bombarded every day with what's going on in the material world. Everything comes from sound. Shabda, anubhriti, everything comes from sound. Now, if you associate with spiritual sound, then you get spiritual things. And unfortunately, if you associate with other sound, mundane sound, then the consequences are there. You just never know where sound can lead you. It's a powerful thing. A prophet has told us, don't talk nonsense. Prajalpa, Don't talk nonsense. Don't do it. It's like gossip. It's the devil's radio. And in this world, it's one of the favorite pastimes. As everybody said, did you hear? Did you see? He did that. She did that. Did you know what they did? They got caught doing this. This is the kata. This is Gramya kata in the Pajalpa mundane realm. So for anybody who's trying to take shelter of the spiritual sound vibration, it's very difficult to always think of Krishna because there's all this input, especially now. I mean, it was never this bad. These last 10 years with all the gadgets and everybody's got an electronic thing on all the time telling them whatever they want. It's ridiculous. They have these things called glow kids. These are kids that play video games 12 to 14 hours a day. And it's become such an epidemic. It's an addiction. They put them in rehab. They call it digital heroin. I'm not kidding. I got teenage boys. They're heavy gamers. And these guys go online and they play games for hours and hours and hours. They only stop to go to the bathroom. They don't even eat. Anyway, so the term is glow kids. Okay, so we're raising these glow kids. Why? Because there's a screen in front of these kids all day long. They glow. Digital heroin? Geez, I thought the 60s was bad. We got kids addicted to their phone, you know. They get up in the morning, you know, the first thing they do is, you know, they got to Snapchat 50 people, and, you know, and then they got to see what's going on, and the next thing, you know, they're glowing. So what we should want to do, we should want to glow in the effulgence of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. May the white lotus of good fortune blossom in your heart. That's what we want. So how do we get that? Well, instead of looking at the screen all day, listening to the music all day, it's there. It's just impossible to miss. We have to actually take the initiative and make ourselves chant Hare Krishna. And it's so, I mean, like I said, I'm Durdaivam Div. I have no taste. I'm sitting here chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm thinking, well, if I just get these rounds done, then I can read. Because I like to read. And I have a program where I read every day, and I have to get my slokas in and my chapters in. And I'm thinking, I just get these rounds out of the way. But this is Krishna dancing on my tongue, and I'm calling him. Just like Krishna Swarup said the other night when Radharani wanted to play the flute, and Krishna said, you can't play. And she said, I want to play the flute. You can teach me. And Krishna said, all right, I'll teach you to play the flute, but you teach me how to become frustrated and angry and exasperated. So she said, okay, I'm going to call your name and you just ignore me. And he couldn't do it. And so Radha's like, Krishna, and he looks. And she said, don't look, ignore me. Krishna. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't not look when she called his name. So we're chanting, we're calling his name. We got the beads, we got the whatever, the tilak, the neck beads. Hey, Krishna, we're calling him. And Krishna's looking, and we're looking at our phone, or, you know, or millions of other things. Who knows? I mean, I know a lot of devotees, and I love all the devotees, but I've seen some really funny japa practices. And these are counted rounds. These guys are pulling them down, going, that's one of my 16. You can chant while you're riding a ride at Disney. I don't care. But if you're counting that as one of your 16, you just might want to go back to basic japa 101. It means that you're supposed to hear the name of Krishna and nothing else. I mean, it's really hard to do. Yoga means control the mind. It's the hardest thing you can do. Control the mind. Arjun, powerful, amazing Arjun. What did he say about controlling the mind? It's like trying to control the wind. When that hurricane came, you imagine somebody got their hang on. I got this. I'm going to control this. Right? So the mind is more difficult than a hurricane, right? So you get this demon hurricane in you. And you're just going, look, I just want to chant japa. It's a couple hours. Can I please just have 2 hours apiece, you know? And you sit there and you chant japa, and every single time, something comes. Something will come. So I like to turn off my junk, you know, turn the electronics off. I turn on japa tape, and I just ignore whatever's going on. I still am really bad at it, but I'm not giving up. As far as I can see, the only thing that really bars us from making spiritual advancement is aparad, unless you don't want it. Prabhupada said anybody can become Krishna conscious provided they want to. And I know a lot of devotees that just don't, you know, they just don't want to. They just don't care. They're busy. But I have this fear that when I leave this body, then I'm going to get a worse deal. And I don't want that. This is bad enough. And I'm going to be 61 in a month. And it's, you know, things aren't like they used to be, and things hurt, and I can't do things I used to like to do. And it's, you know, it's frustrating. So I have this plan to get the heck out of here. And prophets came and spoon-fed us to it, said, just do this, don't do this, do this. And if you're just nice, just don't be offensive to everybody else, you can get out of this. I mean, I'm sucking in this body. I can't imagine being a worm or a cockroach or a dog, right? Dog. I got a funny story. I got to tell you this. Dog worshippers. I come from a long line of family freaks that love dogs. And it's not enough to just have a dog in the backyard. They got to be in the house. They got to be in the bed. The dog is more important in the family than the people. Really is. And all my life, I've always complained. I've always said, yeah, dogs. Let's see. Puke, poop, pee, fleas, bite. They kill the neighbor's cat. They dig holes. They chewed the couch. You come home one day, the couch is a pile of rubble because the dog was bored. What's the good part? Where's the fun stuff? Where's the man's best friend? I never bought into that. The dog comes up. You see, what's he do? Smells your butt, and then he starts jumping on your leg. This is what dogs do. That's all they do. Prabhupada qualified them in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the dog is the number one non-devotee. Why? Because he passes urine on Tulsi. Prabhupada wrote it in the book. It's in the CC. If anybody ever reads the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see it. So I've always told him, I mean, I knew before I met Prabhupada that dogs were, they just weren't for me. You know, my whole family, we had several dogs all the time. But this thing is so funny. My sister calls me and goes, we're going to my dad's last football game. He's 89 years old, right? He's going to die. Loves football. The whole family's going to meet him in Ann Arbor. We're going to football game. Big surprise. I'm like, I'm not going. I can't afford it. I'm busy. So they buy me a ticket. They call me. Look, you're booked on this flight. Get on the plane. So we go up to see my dad's final. Anyway, before we got to my dad's, I had to pick up my sister, and she was staying at these people's house. They got this 9,000 square foot mansion, and their kids are growing up, and they're filthy rich, and they have a dog that has his own smart car. Now, these people got a Benz and a Lexus and a smart car. The smart car is just for Bear. This little dog, his name is Bear. He's an English bulldog. And I hate dogs. I really don't like them. But as dogs go, he was pretty cool. And I told him, I said, Bear, you know, you live better than most humans. The dog lives like, I mean, it's ridiculous. And he doesn't like to walk. So his morning walk every day, the only reason I know all this junk is because my sister was being paid $200 a day to dog sit. You know, you go stay in their mansion and take him for his ride, and they cook food for the dog. Honest to God, the dog got sick, got diarrhea, so they had me cook for the dog. That's a first. That's the first time I've ever cooked for a dog. So I had to make him pumpkin and coconut and sesame. But all these people, they worship the dog. You know, Prabhupada said they don't worship God, they worship dog. And if you don't serve God, then you serve something. And my sister was busy. It was my turn to take the dog for its ride. She's like, take the dog out. I said, I'm not taking that dog for a ride. Come on. No, take it for a ride. All right. Come on, Bear. So the dog gets in the car. You're driving him around in this little smart car. You know, and people are waving, hi, Bear. The whole neighborhood knows him. It's crazy. It's absurd. Now, this is the really ridiculous part. I was chanting japa one day. You know, I'm walking around the house. The doors are all open. And I'm walking in and out and around. And the maids show up to clean the house. And they look at me, and I'm chanting. First thing I do is I hand him a perfection of yoga. These two maids walk in, Latinos, so I give them Spanish perfection of yoga. And I go, Hare Krishna. I get some incense burned. She goes, you're not supposed to burn incense in there. So I put out the incense. Then I'm walking around doing japa walk, you know, and the dog's following me. And at one point I close the door behind me just because it's a habit, you know. I mean, my father always told me, close that door when you walk out, right? So I walk out, I close the door. Well, these two ladies that clean the house noticed that I closed the door on Bear. He couldn't follow me. Not on him. I mean, it didn't close the door. It didn't catch his tail. I just didn't honor him. I'm not kidding. You can't make this stuff up. When these people came back 2 weeks later, they came to my sister and there was a report. Your brother didn't let the dog walk through the house with him. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've been saying this since I was a little kid, because I remember when I was 9, my brother got bit on the face by a dog. And he loves dogs more than anybody I know. Still to this day, he'll go up to any strange dog and pet it. What if... bites him on the face. So I learned when I'm a 9-year-old kid, I go, you can't trust a dog. Bite your face. Right? So then my dad's dog ate the neighbor's cat. Right? And the neighbors were freaked out about it, but my mother really freaked. She took the dog to the vet and had it put down. Now the whole family's crying because they put down the dog that ate the cat. Right? The cat's people are crying because the cat got ate. The damn dog, people are crying because he put down the dog. And nobody's happy because what are we doing here? We're humans and we're acting like idiots. It's just beyond any... And then they're going to complain because I'm chanting Japa and lighting incense in their house. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that. When I'm standing out there in the mall distributing books and I'm seeing these people come into the mall with this look like they're going to Disney. And I've been to Disney 100 times, so I know what people look like when they've got this, you know, they got their kids with them, they just spent $10,000, they're from England, you know, it cost them $10,000 to do this. And they're going in there with this look like, wow, something amazing is going to happen. It's Disney! It's a mouse! Or maybe it's Harry Potter, or maybe it's SeaWorld, but whatever it is, they go in with this fervor, this frenzy. Well, that's how they come into this outlet malls, too. They come in and their kids are running. I'm going to Nike, I'm going to Adidas, just looking for all this junk, the same crap that's made in China that they can buy in England. Then they buy the crap and they put it, they have to buy luggage to put it in, and then they go to the airport and they pay $50 a bag to ship the junk home that they could have bought in England. And we're nuts because we're out there giving them books on self-realization. I was talking to these Brits the other day. It was so funny. The whole family comes over because you're talking to somebody and somebody inevitably, hopefully, gives you some money. And immediately, the entire family shows up. What's going on, Dad? What are you doing? Who's this? Who's your friend? The guy's holding a book. He's got a lollipop, you know, and he just gave me $20. And the family's thinking, who the heck is this guy? You know, so then I meet him and I talk to him. The lady starts looking at the book. And she's going, exactly what is this? I said, this is a book on reality. This tells you what's real, not all of this stuff. And they're looking around, you know, they're carrying bags of junk, you know. And the kids are yelling at them, Mom, come on, we got to go down to the other store. You know, that's all they do. They walk into the mall with this wonder like they're going to enjoy themselves. And they get in there, and it's hell. And the best sales that I do in the mall are the men waiting outside the store for the women and the kids that are in there burning down their cards. I mean, that's all they do. And the guys are sitting out there looking at their watch. And, oh, my God, it's going to take me 5 years to pay for this. And I walk up and go, hey, dude, cheer up. It's going to be over soon. You'll be back in England in the rain. You'll forget all about this. Work for another 5 years and they'll make you do it again. And they always, and they love it. They laugh because that's the truth. These people work like ass and then they take $10,000 or more and they fly to Florida so their kids can ride a ride. And then at the end of the trip, every single time after 2 weeks of just doing stupid stuff, they run out to the mall and spend whatever American money they have left. That's all they do. And I feel like, and I look at them, I see the faces, they're all like kids, I don't care if they're 80 years old, they're all like little kids, we're going to the mall by Disney, woohoo! And then they get in there and they're suffering. You know, so that's when I take full advantage and I walk up to them and I give them a book and I tell them it's not so bad, you're going to be out of here soon, talk about the weather, talk about the driving, I tell them to be careful because people drive psycho down there. But the real thing is this. This is another verse from the 11th. I wanted to share this. Because it talks about how getting mercy. Where'd it go? It's worth finding. Oh, here it is. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. This is like the other verse. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord. Gradually, he becomes much attached to a particular name and form of the Lord. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. indifferent to public opinion. This is important because if we go by public opinion, it's really going to cramp our style. If I walk into Disney or the mall or one of the hotels and I start thinking, oh, I don't want to bother these people on their holiday, they're enjoying themselves, I don't want to interrupt that. Well, that just shuts me completely down and the mission's gone. So the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to go out and find all the wretched fallen souls and try to help them out. So that's why I go out and I give them prasadam and books and mantra cards and I tell them to chant the holy name. Because someday every jiva is going to get the mercy. I mean, it is the golden Kali Yuga. All you really got to do is participate a little bit. Take some prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, and not be a moron. If you could be less offensive, let's put it that way. If we could work on our offenses and remember this, Sangha is so important. It's so powerful that bad association made Vidvita a demon. He associated with Narakasura. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Mahaprakash, he declared that don't be an aparadi, don't be a Vaishnava aparadi. It's a condemned position. So condemned, the Lord said that if my own son is an offender to a Vaishnava, I will kill him. And he gave the example of Narakasura. Narakasura is Krishna's son, Brahman Bhumi, but he was a demon. And I'm sure there's reasons for that. We could all read about it. But the point is that if you're offensive, Krishna doesn't like offenders, so much so that he'll kill his own son. So the main thing is to get engaged in some kind of devotional service. Of course, there's chanting and there's principles. There's Vaidhi Bhakti. This is all preliminary. If we have Vaidhi Bhakti and we have sadhana, and then we take up some service. Tat karma pravartana. You have to be engaged in service. And if you have some association that will help you in your service, it's amazing how much easier that can be. By reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we can remind ourselves daily of what the real standard is and what we should be doing. The tendency is to get lax. The tendency is to become comfortable. But someone who wants to take advantage of Srila Prabhupada has to associate with Srila Prabhupada. And the way we associate with Srila Prabhupada is from hearing. Now, if you don't like reading for some reason, or you can't read or whatever, you can just listen. There are so many. Just turn on your whatever your favorite gadget is, and you can turn on and listen to Srila Prabhupada give class and sing bhajans and tell you everything you'll ever need to know. You don't have to do anything but that. Just participate and make a plan to do it every day. Don't say, yeah, I'm going to read these books someday. Never happen. And if you look around, the devotees that haven't left Prabhupada are ones that read a lot. How much do they read? A lot. How much?
A lot.
A lot. If you don't hear, you will hear. If you don't hear Prabhupada, you will hear. And you will get the results of whatever you're hearing. So you have to force yourself somehow or other to dust off the book, crack it open, and make yourself read. I told my son this, and he's doing really well, doing a chapter of Gita a day now. I said, read one page. Read a paragraph. Read a sentence. Open the book. Start somewhere. It's as important as your japa. If you just sit here and wait for the day that you're going to study Prabhupada's books, you're going to die before you do it. And there's a lot of books Prabhupada left. I don't think there's any need for any other books. You take Prabhupada's books. I just got an email from Vaish, and he said, Shravanadi Jal, two things. Take shelter of two things. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, and chanting japa. These two things, if you do them right, you have no problems. You can go back to Godhead. Go back to Goloka. Go back to Bimba fruit. Krishna's being kissed by Mother Yasoda and his cheeks are red like Bimba fruit. I want to see that. I really want to see that. And this is the opportunity. It's open to anybody that's willing to take it. Like I said, you just have to be careful. Get some decent association and be careful. Don't be offensive. And take shelter. And it's easy. I hate to say that because it's not. I never thought it was easy. I mean, selling books is easy to me. I walk into the mall, I meet people, I sell them books. That seems easy to me. But sitting down and meditating on the holy name, to me, is really hard. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur reminds us that there is nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds except this mantra. So while chanting, if you think there's nothing else in the 14 worlds but this, then you won't be so inclined to go off and turn on your computer or check your mail or whatever it is we do. Bhagavad Gita says it's possible through suitable practice and detachment. And these are things that we can practice every day. Because Krishna's dancing on her tongue. Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nama Hate Hoy Sarva Jagat and Star. These are facts. This is a truth. It's an axiomatic truth. Prabhupada said if you accept that truth, then you can make progress. Because from that truth, then you can add to it. You can hear, you can chant, you can remember. And that's all it really takes. If you can become, we always say, what's the most important thing? The most important thing is to become Krishna conscious. Conscious of Krishna, to think of him all the time. If you can think of him all the time, then you won't be in Maya. Like I said, it sounds easier than it is. Anyway, I'll end here, and if anybody could add something, I would really appreciate hearing something from anybody. Come on, guys. Hari Prayana. I'm a work in progress. I'm a one-trick pony. You know, I get up, I chant Hare Krishna, I eat prasadam, I distribute prasadam, I read books, I distribute books. That's it. My time, my downtime is when I can come to kirtan and japa. This is like, you know, this is like recreation. You can come and sing and dance and, you know, nobody's chasing you around. Yesterday, this guy just showed up out of nowhere. Nice family, bought a book, a couple of books from me, and they were just so nice. Have a nice trip home. And then, boom, out of nowhere, this 8-foot dude, and he knows me and we have a relationship, and he says, I'm going to give you 2 seconds to get off this property. And he goes, and I don't even want to hear your argument. I've already heard your philosophy. Because the first time I met him, I sold a book to his partner. Nice guy. Cop buys a book. Usually don't, but he did. And the other guy's like, I don't want the book. Get out of here. So then he sees me again. And he's like, I don't want to hear it. He goes, I've already heard your philosophy. Which I was very proud that I stood up and I told him my philosophy. I said, you know what? You know what I told him? I said, these people are out here buying junk from China that they don't need and they're suffering. These books tell them how to get out of trouble. Who could not like that? Who would say, no, don't do that. Let them go on. Let them go buy some more of that plastic junk from China and let us all go to hell. You know they got islands of plastic floating around in the South Pacific? Do you know that? There's 4 of these islands. They're as big as Texas. And you reach down and you can walk on the things. I saw it on TV, so I know it's true. These people were walking on islands of plastic, toothbrushes and bottles and cigarette packs, whatever. This is what the unconscious civilization is up to. So we have to remember that we're the hope. We're the light. Srila Vyasadeva is given the light of Bhagavatam, and we have to turn it on everybody so they can at least have a chance. Hari Prayana.
I just want to say it's not just the kids. I'm a glow adult.
Thanks for that. I hate tech. Tech is great. It's really good. We print books with it. You can push a button and hear a devotee singing from Vrindavan. I mean, it's wonderful. But most people don't use it for that. Most people use it for, we know what they use it for, and it's beyond a waste of time. It's demoniac. It's hellish. And not only that, they're always selling to me. I'll be sitting there listening to a class, right? Because I Googled it because I was lazy. And you're sitting there listening to a beautiful class, and all of a sudden, buy this. I mean, it's a rigged system. They got it. It's marketing. That's all it is. It's just marketing. And your little kid gets a phone. Next thing you know, they're buying junk that the phone told them to buy. Glow kids. Glow people.
Yeah, I heard from a friend a long time ago that there's, the radio stations are always broadcasting own. Instead of ohm. You know, that's what we're doing.
Own
this.
My, my, me, me, mine. That's what Prabhupada says about the radios. Check this out. I love this. Anything else? Anybody? Come on, you guys, say something. I love it.
Yeah, I have one other thing.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Actually, two.
Two, three. Go ahead.
I was reading one of those nice things. I was reading Krishna book, the first part, and in that, in the conversations that Vasudeva was having with Kamsa on the chariot, Srila Prabhupada then comments on that, saying that Vasudeva was trying to save his wife, but then Prabhupada says that Vasudeva was telling him that if you just take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, that you'll be saved, and that you can cross over this ocean of material nescience, just like the water and the hoofprint of a cow. And then Prabhupada says even more. He says, but you know, this analogy of crossing over a body of water is very interesting. He says, because usually when you cross over, the boat goes on the other side, and there it is. And how do the other people? But he said the devotees are so compassionate that water shrinks up like the footprint of the calf. So just by taking shelter, the boat is still there for anybody to come take shelter.
That's nice. That's because the devotees, they love Krishna. Krishna loves the jivas. And all of his jivas are lost. You know, and you can imagine if you lost your kid and somebody brought the kid back. Would you love that person? I mean, I lost my kid. Where is he? Here, I brought him. I found him in the woods. I brought him back. This is what Sankirtan is that we go out and we find the lost kids. Krishna's kids are all lost, acting like we are. And we got to go out there and go, hey, excuse me, your dad's over there. He's really a nice guy. He's rich. He'll be happy and famous. You're out in the street. Get it together. Oh, I found it. Thank you. Chant the holy name in a loud voice. This performance of the chanting is not limited only to the traditional form of beating on drums. All modern communication systems can be used. Maya's deluding potency is perfectly expressed in the blaring mundane noise of the radios we hear everywhere. Just put an end to all that nonsense by replacing it with broadcasts of transcendental kirtan. Mundane newspapers endlessly carry trivial and terrible chattering about Maya's endless distractions. Just counteract all this by publishing the Lord's glories and then distribute these everywhere.
There's like, talking about dogs, they have like maybe two or three good qualities, friendly, faithful. These things really don't matter because they just, like you say, they just jump on you like a crazy person. And there's like 10 bad things about dogs. They just, you know, disease ridden, and I don't remember all those bad things, but you know, anyway.
Prabhupada said, in the West, dog ownership is compulsory. I just heard this on a lecture the other day. It's compulsory. And I mean, I have nothing against dogs. I've had a couple. My kids demanded them and stuff. They were always trouble. I mean, same thing, fleas, poop, bites, whatever. Most devotees, and I think there's more people who have dogs than don't. But whatever. I just had to share that because it was just... beyond insanity when those people were like, boy, you walked through the house and didn't let bear walk through with you. I take him for a ride. I cooked for him. What do you want? It's a dog. You know, you can't tell them that. They freak out, man. That's their family member, you know. It's a dog. What do you expect? It's out there eating a diaper. I mean, that's what dogs do. Okay, Prabhus, that's all you can take. Please forgive my offenses. Sarva Vaishnavara Paya Kodi Namaskar Ite Aparada Kichi Nauta. Prabhupada, Gomitai Radhishan, Krishna Valarana.